Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, CC friends, and welcome to Christian Communicators Live. I'm Vonda Skelton, and my co-director, Carolyn Knepley, and I are here in warm and sunny South Carolina. Now, Carolyn, I was at your house this week, and I saw some peaches that looked like they were really close to being ready to pick. So are they ready yet? And I'll run over and get me some.
We plucked 3 basketfuls yesterday, and this morning I had peaches in my oats. They are ripe, ready, and sweet. So come on over.
Oh, wow. Well, I can't wait to get there. But first, well, the thing that I can't wait for the most is to be able to talk with Beth Sadati today. But before we do that, Carolyn, would you like to just tell the people how we're going to take the next few minutes?
That sounds great. Yes, we would love for our guest listeners to call in if they have any questions for Beth, our speaker today. And that number is 347-843-4920. We'll be coming in about 15 minutes to give that number again and open the lines for questions. All right. I look forward to hearing more from you, Vonda and Beth.
Okay. Well, friends, Carolyn and I are just honored and humbled to be able to share our guest today, writer, speaker, English teacher and Christian Communicators grad, Beth Sadati. So welcome, Beth. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Vonda and Carolyn.
Well, we are so excited. But before we get started, let's just have a few words with the Father. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together today. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed Beth to be here with us. And Lord, praise you that you knew this day would be here. We invite you here. We pray, Lord, that everything we say and do would honor and glorify you. We know this is a difficult subject. And Father, I just pray that you will give Beth confidence in her message. Give all of us the sensitive ear to listen and to hear what you would have to say to each of us. And Father, if there are any out there today who are listening, who have struggled with this or are currently struggling with this, Father, we just pray that you would touch them with your mighty hand and that from their hearts all the way through to the outside, Lord, that they will be healed and would be encouraged and would find the hope that you offer them. And it's in your great name that we pray. Amen. Now, listeners, I know you're interested in hearing from Beth, and we are too. We want you to. But first, I do want to tell you a little bit about her. For 25 years, Beth Sadati has taught high school English in public school, private schools, and homeschool settings. And one of her greatest joys, she says, has been investing her time and heart into the lives of hundreds of teens. But 3 years ago, Beth's world forever changed when Jenna, her firstborn daughter, chose to end her life. There were no warning signs, no previous attempts, no indicators of mental illness, and Jenna was 14 years old. The writings that Jenna left behind showed that lies spoken by her peers had somehow lodged in her mind until living became more than she thought she could bear. Now, Beth is writing and speaking, and she shares Jenna's story in hopes that it will start a conversation, that it will speak life and encourage others to fight through heartbreak and hurt of suicide. Now, 4 of Beth's stories have been published in Chicken Soup for the Soul books, all in 2015, just last year. And she's working on a young adult novel that will be based on Jenna's true story. Beth also blogs about suicide, depression, and hope in Christ at her blog, Bittersweet. And it is a powerful, powerful blog. You can learn more about Beth at her website, BethSedati.com. And let me spell that for you. I want to be sure that you get the correct spelling. It's BethSaadati.com. And Beth lives right here in South Carolina with her husband and two younger children. So, Beth, thank you for sharing your experience with us today. I know this has to be hard, but I also know that God doesn't waste any scars. And as we know, He's definitely already not wasting yours. So, first of all, would you just tell us a little about your precious daughter, Jenna?
I would love to, Vonda. I've worked with hundreds of teens, and I know I'm biased because I'm her mom, but I've never known anybody quite like Jenna. I think the way most people would describe her, not just me, is she was really beautiful. She was very intelligent. But she was complex in a good way. There was a side of her that was hilarious once you knew her and just really funny. She loved telling stories. And there is a very dramatic side to her. There is also a very, very deep side to her. And so she's just a mixture of so many things. There was a side of her that was introverted. She probably read a book every other day, and she loved to write.
Oh,
she
wow.
wrote constantly. But there was an extroverted side of her that loved to be with friends and family, that loved having game days. And she loved including people. She was always looking for the person who was not included and pulling them in. She was ladylike. She would love to do her hair and her nails and stuff like that. But there was a side of her that was also a tomboy, and she loved Star Wars and the Avengers and Captain America and Lord of the Rings. So she had that mix. And so guys related to her, girls related to her. And then there was also a side of her that was really tenderhearted and really sweet. But there was also a part that had this deep heart of justice who was bold and wasn't afraid to confront people in a good way and use her words well. And I think it was this combination of who she was that really caused her, again, it sounds biased, but I don't think I am. It really caused her to just light up a room when she walked into it. And a lot of people liked her. She was full of dreams.
Yeah.
She wanted to be a medical doctor. She wanted to be a published author. And she also loved the Lord, and she knew her identity in Christ. And so all of that, this is part of what surprised us when she chose to end her life, because she doesn't fit the stereotypical person who you would think would make that choice. I know her assistant principal said she wasn't on her radar at all, and other people said she would have been the last person that they would have expected from this. So just real briefly, the background of her story is we homeschooled her, and then in 7th and 8th grade, she was selected. She had qualified to attend the School for the Gifted and Talented in Greenville, where there's 70 kids from the county chosen for that for each grade. And it was a good fit for her. She loved it. She liked her teachers. There were a lot of good things about that. But one thing that I don't think she was completely prepared for is there was still that middle school immaturity with some of the kids. And there was some middle school drama like there always is, and there was some bullying.
Yeah.
And there was a group of kids who were making fun of some of her classmates and just a little bit mean and excluding. And that wasn't okay with the heart of justice Jenna had. And so she stood up to them to defend the other kids who were being bullied. And when she did that, eventually they ended up turning on her. And so here you have this girl on the outside who she liked to refer to herself privately at home as the Ice Princess, because she was strong on the outside, but on the inside she was very tender, and she was sensitive to cliques. She was used to being liked and being friends with everybody and having lots of guy friends, and she really just wanted to be accepted by everybody, especially by this one group that was doing the bullying. And when they stopped talking to her and they kind of turned on her a little bit, it just tore her up inside. And when she finished middle school, she went on to high school. She decided she was going to get a new start, and she was looking forward to that and learn from some of the heartbreaks she'd had in middle school. And she was part of an IB program, part of a marching band, and everything seemed to be going well until 1 month into school, one of the classmates from her middle school just told her horrible lies during one of her classes when they should have been working on a project. And he told her that everybody not everybody, but this one group of students in middle school had thought that she was ugly, she was stupid, and they were never really her friends. If she ever thought they were only pretending. And it just crushed her. Mm-hmm. And so thankfully she talked to my husband and me about it, and we got to process that with her and pray with her and remind her of what was true. And she said, I know that those, eventually she came around and she said, I know those are just lies and I'm okay. And we would check up on her and she would say she was okay. But 3 months later, when she ended her life unexpectedly and she left her suicide note behind, she said she wasn't okay, that depression had set in, that she had hidden from everybody, and it had, that those lies that had just settled into her mind had changed the way she saw herself, changed the way she reinterpreted her 7th and 8th grade years of school, and she just didn't know what to do with the pain. And I think the hardest thing about that, the two hardest things about it, one is that we never got to say goodbye to her. Nobody did. And we just miss not having her here. So.
Oh, I can't imagine. I just can't imagine how hard it has to be for anybody, but particularly when you've had no warning, no signs that you could pick up on. And it's not like y'all were the kind of parents who were disengaged with your kids. So that, I would guess, would make the situation even more complex and more difficult to understand, which kind of leads to the next question. So what brought you to this point of deciding that you had to speak and write about suicide, something so difficult and so hurtful?
That's a good question. I never would have thought I would be speaking or writing about it, but there's two big reasons. The first is just to bring an awareness to it, because I've come to realize a lot of things that I didn't know before this happened, even though I've been a high school teacher for 25 years and my husband works as a pastor and counselor with the homeless. And so we're both aware of suicide, but now I'm aware of it at a whole different level. And one thing I've learned is that it's pretty much a silent topic that people don't talk about. There's a big stigma around it. And yet the statistics are just staggering. Some of the statistics put out by the Center for Disease Control are that one out of every six teenagers consider suicide, give serious consideration to it, and one out of every 12 attempt suicide.
Wow.
So if you have a classroom, that's two students in every class are attempting, and four in every class, or four or five are considering it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the second leading cause of death for ages 15 to 24, and it's a third leading cause of death for ages 10 to 14. For the first time, it's passed even car accidents. And the latest stats that came out just a couple months ago that said the largest increase out of all the different groups of individuals, the largest increase for suicide has occurred for females ages 10 to 14, and that's increased by 200%. And there's also been a 20% increase in teen suicides due to bullying, and the impact of suicide, as I know now, on family, on friends, and even a community is just enormous. It causes marriages to fail. It causes siblings and friends to struggle, and it changes a whole bunch of lives. The aftershocks are enormous. And so that's my first reason that I write and talk about it, even though I wish I never had this story to speak or write about. That's just hard, knowing that it's my reality that I have it. But one is to bring awareness, and the other is just with a hope that it will speak life for others, and that maybe by speaking, other people won't have to experience what my family has. And my heart has always been for teenagers. That doesn't change, with the loss of my daughter. It makes it even more probably for the heart of my heart, more for teens. And a friend just emailed me yesterday and reminded me, she told me something I didn't know and reminded me of something I had heard, that teenagers and young adults are very, very, they're more at risk for suicide than any other group. One reason is because the frontal lobe of the brain isn't fully developed until age 25. And so the processing is different, and predicting outcomes, how things will turn out, it's very different than when you're a full-grown adult. And the other thing I didn't know is she said from ages 10 to 15, people, teenagers, preteens and teens, misinterpret their emotions 40% of the time. And I had never heard that till yesterday.
Wow.
And to me, that's staggering. So they are just so at risk. And ultimately, I write and I speak because I believe there's power in story. I mean, the statistics are moving, but it's in the story, the sharing of story, where there's power. And my hope is that it will change lives.
Yes, yes, definitely. Well, you know, one of the things that we talk about with Christian communicators, with training speakers, is not to use statistics, not to use a lot of statistics, to make sure any statistics you use are powerful, life-changing, mm-hmm. that people can't get out of their minds. And some of these statistics that you've shared are just, I mean, I've never, ever, ever thought that one out of six teenagers consider suicide and one out of 12 attempt it. I never would have thought it was that much.
Right.
So those are powerful statistics. So you talked about story as you were answering that. So I know you have your blog that is just amazing. I know that God has opened the door for you to speak to parents around the country through your blog and with speaking. And so what is it about Jenna's story that resonates with readers and listeners? Why do you think they are grabbing hold so tightly to your message and to Jenna's story?
I've asked myself that so many times because it's had such a bigger response than I ever would have expected. But I think the bottom line is, I heard this a couple months ago, and it just resonated with me, is that suicide has a 100% penetration rate. And what that means is anywhere you go, almost everybody has been affected by suicide. They've known a friend or a classmate or somebody who's chosen to end their life. And so it just affects mm-hmm. everybody, even though, again, it's so seldom talked about. But I think readers and listeners can identify with the story in three ways. One way they identify it with is the whole aspect of bullying, because a lot of us have been bullied. Sometimes it's just a little bit when we were in middle school or grade school, but we know what that feels like. And a lot of us have also unintentionally, a lot of the times, bullied other people. Just, I know that even when I was in middle school and high school, I did some stupid things that were unintentionally hurtful to others. And so I think we mm-hmm. relate to that part of the story. I think a lot of readers and listeners relate to being hurt and being wounded. And the reason why is because this side of heaven is a war zone, and all of us get hurt. That's just the reality of living in this world. And
right.
I think all of us also know, all of us also have to fight thoughts and lies that come into our head.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I can hear the lie that I failed as a mom, or I have no authority to be investing in teens. And those are lies. But since the loss of my daughter, they can... It's not just when we're a teenager, even as adults, we have to fight off those lies that we're not good enough, we're not enough. And the other thing I think readers and listeners can identify with is being the survivor, because the storms come in life. No one is immune from them. Anyone who's been around for a while has had tragedy of one sort or another written into their story.
Yeah.
And so I think they connect with the story for that reason, too.
Well, this is just some very insightful information. I know I'm learning from it. But let's just take a break for just a moment. And Carolyn, would you share with our listeners how they could call in and ask a question if they would like?
Sure. This silent topic, Beth has decided to speak out to awaken us and make us aware about the bullying, the hurts, and being survivals. If any of the listeners want to call in and ask a detailed question, Beth is willing and very able to share her insight with you. Just call area code 347 347-843-4920. One more time, that's area code 347-843-4920. Beth, thank you for sharing your heart. We love you, and you are making a difference.
You're welcome.
Yes,
you are.
Yes, you are. So with all of this background information that you've given us and these horrid statistics, can anything be done to prevent teenagers and their families, other teenagers and their families, from experiencing what yours has? Or are we just, do we just have to sit by and let it happen?
It's a tough battle to fight. It's a big one. But the two things that I would say, one on a personal level, is just to recognize the lies when they come, to realize that we are in a battle. And, you know, even a spirit-filled believer can still be infected with lies, that there's a false narrative that can run through our heads. And I know a lot of people struggle with depression, but depression is very real, but it also lies. And so on a personal level, one thing we can do is just to be renewing our mind. And that is the hardest thing that we'll ever have to do in life. But it's a battle that we're called to fight. And so it's us recognizing those lies, but it's also talking and seeking out help. That a lot of times we need other people to speak truth to us about our identity and about who we are and about our reality. It's too hard. That's what Jenna did. She just kept it. She kept it to herself for 3 months. And that's where it grew in the darkness. And if she just would have talked to people, and she talked about everything else, so that's what's hard to understand. But if she would have talked and let other people fight with her and speak truth into her, I have to think that she'd still be here. And then beyond what we need to be responsible for ourselves, recognizing lies and talking and seeking help, the other thing we can do corporately is to reach out to others. It's so simple, but it's so easy to neglect when we're busy with life.
Yeah.
Is to reach out to others and show that we care, because in the little things that we do, a lot of times we don't even realize it, but we're actually saving lives. Sometimes it's just the hug or the hello or how are you, or just letting people know that other people see them, that they're not invisible. And also the thing I keep hearing from parents is they're starting the conversation with their teens. We never talked to Jenna about suicide because we never thought it was an issue. It was totally off our radar with her. And it's different now. Now I talk with my other kids, and I hear other parents say, we're sharing your blog, we're talking with them, we're starting the conversation. And to really listen to them and listen. I know teens keep a lot of things hidden. I did when I was a teen, but to really listen to what they have to say, because there's a lot going on in their world.
There certainly is. Certainly is. Well, I've been so blessed, and, you know, I guess it's one of those things I never really thought about until I met you and learned your story. But I've truly been blessed not to have experienced suicide among my family or friends, and yet I read every blog post that you write.
Thank you.
They're that gripping. They're powerfully real. They're raw. And through even doing that, I have learned so much more about the issue. And even as one who doesn't have kids in my house, I have grandkids. And so I'm much more aware. So I know you have lots of response to your blog. But what has the overall response because of that blog? I don't mean necessarily in numbers, but in what you're able to do through your blog.
I think I've been more astounded by the response than anybody has. When I started, I only post once a month and it's been less than a year. And I honestly didn't even know if anybody would read it. And on the contrary, because so many people have shared it, the last two posts have had 10,000 views, and it's being seen in countries across the world, like 60 or 70 countries. What that says to me, and I still don't know why, I'm still more astounded than anybody. But one thing is, it shows me that there is a felt need, that there is a need that it is somehow speaking to, and I think people need to hear this. Number one, and people feel like they want or need to share it with others, that there's a message out there that needs to be spoken that has the potential to make a difference in lives. And it's like you said, it's from parents. Parents are responding to it, grandparents for their grandkids, teenagers mm-hmm. who are struggling, even adults who are struggling with depression. So it's just, it touches a need that I maybe is even universal. But the bigger thing is I'm just receiving emails and comments and messages that are telling me, and this breaks my heart. It's still hard for me to hear, but this is common, the struggle with suicidal thoughts and suicide attempts. It's very mm-hmm. common, and it's happening with good teens from good families. And it just says, again, that it's hard to be a teenager, and I think sometimes adults forget how difficult it can be. And it's also telling me that adults want to remember. I think there was a comment on the last blog post that just really struck me, and somebody wrote, it's like looking into a mirror from when I was 14. Mm-hmm. And adults want to remember, and they want to connect, and teenagers want to talk.
Wow. Well, I love the name of your blog, and I wanted to share that with the listeners. The blog name is Bittersweet, because sweet still follows bitter, even in loss. Powerful, powerful statement right there. Well, we only have a minute or two left for your response, but can you quickly tell us how in the world you continue to stand in that aftermath, the hardship and the struggle of a parent's worst nightmare, this unimaginable loss that you've gone through? How do you continue to stand?
The last 3 years have been very difficult. I won't lie about that. Grief is messy, and there's not any real closure. What has helped me to stand? I've wanted to isolate and pull away, you know, and let go of my former things I felt called to, but what's helped me stand? One, initially was counseling to help me through grief with my marriage, keeping that, you know, sustained, and with the suicide, obviously, with Jenna's loss. Another have just been other things I've done to help me cope, running, listening to worship music, writing. Mm-hmm. Another has been staying connected with family and with my friends and with teenagers. That's been really important to me, more than probably anybody would know, because for two reasons. They want to enter into my grief, even though they don't always know how, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
They want to, and I need them. So just staying connected when I'm tempted to pull away. And then the last way is through the Lord. And waves of grief still come every few days. And I've heard that's common with suicide for the first 4 to 5 years. I still cry. I still find myself face down, locked in my bathroom, just raw and real and broken, because there's so much about Jenna's death that I'll never understand, and I still miss her so much.
Yes.
But whenever I do that, the Lord always shows me he's close. He always shows me that he's here, that he loves me, that he's fighting for me, that he's grieving too, that he hasn't forgotten me. And he shows me that time and time again in more ways than I could tell you if I had hours with you. And he proves again and again that his promises that he will never leave or forsake us are true. And so that's what I do to help me stand. I heard a quote from Davy Blackburn's web post a couple months ago that says, run toward the roar. And so you run toward the lion who's roaring, not away from him. And when we do, the Father meets us there.
Oh, wow. Powerful, powerful picture. Thank you. And thank you so much, Beth, for sharing from your heart and through your pain. I know some of our listeners may be going through their own pain because of their own loss. And so we just pray that the Father will use your words to be an encouragement to them today. Thank you for your transparency, and thank you for giving God the glory for what he's done, even as you said, in the middle of unimaginable loss. So thank you so much for being here. And friends, to find out more about Beth, her blog, and she has suggested resources as well on her site, and that's at Beth's BethSadati.com, BethSadati.com. And there you can also sign up for her blog and get that blog each time she posts. We appreciate you for being here. Thank you so much for listening. And we pray that today's interview will be a lifesaver for someone else. Thank you, and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.